This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Maurice Jones joins us. He is with the city of Charlottesville, and he joins us live in studio. What is your official title? I forget.
Assistant City Manager.
Assistant City Manager, yes, sir. Of course. That's right. How could I forget that? So we have a lot we want to talk about. But first, let's do a Mo Jones 101.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about your background, where you went to school, and how you ended up working for the city.
Well, Coy, I grew up in Northern Virginia, a little place called Dale City.
Yeah.
Not so little anymore. It is the home of Potomac Mills Mall. That's our claim to fame up there.
When did they build that?
Back in 1984.
Is it that old?
When it opened, yes, sir.
Do you know that's like the biggest tourist attraction in Virginia?
It is. I know. It's very sad. It is.
Isn't that amazing?
That's one of the first things I always tell someone right after I mention that. And everyone goes, well, that's kind of sad, isn't it?
You would assume it was Williamsburg.
Williamsburg. I mean, all the great history that we have here in Virginia.
But no.
Well,
it's
that
mall.
They do a great job of connecting the mall to tours of Washington, D.C. as well. So that's one of the reasons that they're so successful at that. Yeah, exactly. They were clearing it out as I was going to. In my freshman year, we're driving on the bus to school. One day there's a ton of trees, and a week later they're all gone, and they're working on Potomac Mills. So
it's a hell of a mall, though.
It's a big mall. It is a big
mall. Get props where props are due.
Indeed.
It is an impressive mall.
There's a lot to do there. Yeah. And after graduating from high school, I went to James Madison University over in Harrisonburg. Went there for a communications degree. Wanted to be a television broadcaster. And so that's what I did.
Which you were.
That's right, indeed. My first job on air was here at Channel 29. Served in various roles, weekend sports anchor, then sports director. And then my last job at Channel 29 back in 1998, I served as the executive producer of the morning show and anchored two sports segments for the morning show as well.
So that means you went to work at like 2 in the morning?
2 in the morning, exactly. It was exhausting. It was, but it was a lot of fun. Had a good group of folks that we worked with, but those hours got to me after a while.
Yeah.
So I ended up applying for a job elsewhere, got a job down in Columbia, South Carolina, and about 4 or 5 months in, I realized that I didn't want to do television sports anymore. And fortunately, I knew I wanted to go into public policy or public service on some level, and had a chance to come back to Charlottesville, and became the director of communications in 1999 for the city. Served in that role for 6 years before taking a 2.5-year break to work over at the Miller Center of Public Affairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Really enjoyed that. If you don't know about the Miller Center, it's a great jewel here in Charlottesville, locally known for the Forum program.
Yeah, we have George in once a month.
Exactly, yeah. as your listeners would know.
But they do a whole lot more
They
than
do
that.
A whole lot more from academic standpoint, their national debates that they've started since Governor Beliles came aboard there. Wonderful activities that they're offering there, and great scholarship as well.
I was going to say, there's a whole lot of research that they do under their umbrella that folks may never realize goes on there.
Well, just think about the oral history program that they have, where they've gone back and interviewed top administration officials from Jimmy Carter's administration on, because this was a great way to get insight into what actually happens inside the walls of the White House.
Right. Right.
They're still working on projects with I think they're putting the finishing touches on the Bush project, the first Bush project, and Clinton project. They're still doing interviews for that, I do believe. And I think they also hope that they'll get 43 as well. And so you've got that program, and then you also have the audio tapes that they have of President Johnson, Kennedy, and others in the White House, Nixon. It's fascinating to listen to them, get an insight into what folks did in the White House. But, of course, that ended after Watergate. They stopped recording their conversations for good reason. So, but loved my time there at the Miller Center. And then last year was given the opportunity to come back to work for the city as assistant city manager.
And we're talking with Maurice Jones. And for folks just joining us from Des Moines, you may not realize that Maurice actually carried the torch for the Olympics. Now, one was that? Because I remember watching you on television.
That was back in 1996. It was one of the highlights of my life, certainly before before getting married and having children, moved it out of the top spot. But it was wonderful. I got a chance to carry it along Grady Avenue, it was phenomenal. Getting it, it was interesting though, because they brought the torch up to me, and the way it works is that sometimes they would light light a new one, and they'd give you that one to carry. And so they turned on the gas, and the gas wasn't working in mine, the first one that I had. And so they had to give me a second one, and we had to wait a couple of minutes. And they were really concerned because they didn't want anyone to think that the flame had gone out.
Right.
It had not gone out. One of the torches actually had the flame, and then it was passed on to me. But I'd say the highlight of that day was going over to the university on the grounds there on the lawn, and there were thousands of people there for that ceremony.
Oh, wow. That must have been incredible.
It really was.
Did you run down the lawn?
I didn't run down the lawn. There was a gentleman who, if I remember correctly, and this is a long time ago now, I believe he was a volunteer firefighter in the area, and he got a chance to do that. But I loved talking to him afterwards. He said it was just amazing coming down the lawn, having thousands of people cheer for you the way they did.
Yeah.
So it was obviously a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it was fantastic.
Maurice Jones is the assistant city manager for the city of Charlottesville, one of the best places to live in America, and we're honored to have him live in studio. Where should we begin? I'm going to let you pick because we've got a little list of topics here that we wanted to talk about, and you just tell me where you'd like to start.
Why don't we start with the dialogue on race here in Charlottesville. Back in the fall of last year, the city council had a retreat, and these retreats really are working opportunities for the council to kind of sit back and think about larger priorities for the coming year or the next couple of years or so, and especially when you have one or two new counselors on council, which we did last year with Holly Edwards and Satendra Hooja. And so we got together for the retreat, and they came up with like the top seven priorities, and there are issues like, you know, the environment and making sure that we protect the green space that we have in Charlottesville and adding trees and that type of thing, economic development, those types of subjects. And one of the issues that they came up with was race relations. And they felt that it was an issue that we had not really dealt with in a very substantive way here in Charlottesville in quite some time, but it's an issue that's still, it's still a part of our fabric of our culture. There are tensions that are out there when it comes to race relations here in Charlottesville. And as I explained to a lot of different, I'm going around and talking to a lot of different groups about it now, and a lot of times folks ask me, well, you know, do we really have a deep problem with race in Charlottesville? And I said, you know, for someone who may come in from outside, you may not see it at first, but if you scratch the surface a little bit, you know it's there. You know that tension's there. There's history here in Charlottesville that some folks have not been able to get over.
When I was doing my research, 7 years of research for my book, The Corner, History of Student Life at UVA, it's really a history of Charlottesville and UVA in one book.
Sure.
Maurice, I ran into people who are still palpably upset.
Sure.
About Vinegar Hill, which was 1962, 63.
Certainly.
When they just tore down, you know, they razed this complete part of downtown, which had largely been African-American residential and commercial activity there, the Irish before that.
Right.
People still today are, and as far as I'm concerned, rightly upset about what happened.
Well, it's interesting because you look back at the history of that and the discussion that took place about what they should do with that part of town, and there were, without a doubt, there were some houses there that were substandard houses.
And
folks they didn't have running water and that type of thing. And so addressing that issue was important. Now the solution for it may not have been what the community truly needed.
A fly with a bazooka.
Exactly. And so today, folks still think about that as, you know, not only losing homes, but losing businesses and losing a sense of community that they lost back then. And it's not just older folks. I mean, this is passed down from one generation to another.
Yeah.
And so there is amongst, especially African-Americans who've grown up here, who are locals, there is still that tension that's out there. It results in all kinds of different things that are negative for the community. I think that type of tension results in folks who feel disenfranchised to the point that they don't want to become actively involved in the community anymore, and they're not going to come and speak up. One of the things that Holly Edwards and I and some other folks have commented on is that especially on the big issues that affect Charlottesville, we don't have a lot of minority representation. People aren't coming out to talk about it, whether it's the parkway, water issues. I mean, all of these things affect Charlottesville and all of us in our community, but we don't have all of us at the table talking about it.
Yeah.
And the only time we really...
And you can't drag people to the table.
No, of course not. I mean,
you got to give them the motivation and the reasons so that it makes sense for them to be at the table.
And you have to build trust. And see, that's part of the issue now, is that folks feel as though, well, you're not going to listen to us anyways. We're not going to get involved. Unless it's a very personal issue to them. And even then, they may not come out because they don't think anything's going to change. And so what the council asked us to do was take a look at ways that we can address this issue. And so we did research for on all kinds of different initiatives that have been done in other cities around the country. I was frankly surprised by the number of cities and localities that have gone through this type of process. Cincinnati, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, Burlington, Vermont, Little Rock, Arkansas.
So when the city says we want to sponsor a dialogue on race, this is something that's been done in other places successfully.
Right, exactly. It's one model that's been done in other places. There were some other models that we looked at, and we decided that the dialogue on race and this the specific model, which is a study circle model, would work best for Charlottesville, and here's why. It is an opportunity to bring people in smaller groups together to learn about each other, learn about our experiences, get a better understanding of each other, and then start to work towards ideas to help improve our community. And so in the study circle model,
you take the table to them, basically.
Exactly. And so you
instead of inviting them to the table, take the table to them.
And say, listen, we need the community to be a part of this. We're looking at trying to get groups of 10 to 15 people who would meet 5 or 6 different times, begin that process of learning about each other and all of our past experiences and what we bring to the table today, learn about the issues that we're all facing today, and then move to ideas. Well, what can we do about it? Because a critical part of this is getting from dialogue to action. You know, that's one of the things that we learned in our research.
It's not just a touchy-feely, feel-good kind of thing.
That's only going to get us so far. Yeah. What we learned in our research is that there are a number of cities that have tried this and just done the dialogue part, and they feel good walking away from it, but they don't feel as though they've accomplished a whole lot. And so what we're trying to do is move to action, and I think we've put together a pretty good plan to do that.
So we're talking with Maurice Jones, Assistant City Manager for the City of Charlottesville. What's the timeline on something like this?
Well, what we've done is we've put together a request for a proposal, and we've posted it out there for facilitation training services. We'd like to bring in a group that's done this type of thing in
people
the past.
People do this for a living.
They do, exactly. And what they would do is come in and help us with goals and objectives for the initiative, but then also they would train local volunteers who would serve as facilitators for these study groups, because we thought it would be best to have local folks who have the skills to do proper and appropriate facilitation, and also know this community as well. And so this group that we bring in will train those volunteer facilitators. We'll probably do a couple of small trial runs in the summer, and then we'll really do a big marketing push in the latter part of the summer and early fall for not only volunteer facilitators, but also for people to participate in the dialogue. The model that we're using is very close to what they've done down in Lynchburg and over the last year and a half or so. And they feel very good about what they've done down there. And I think we could do the same thing here. Every time I talk to a group of people about it, they get excited about it. They think it's important. And they think this can take us a couple of steps forward in terms of bringing our community back together.
And so if somebody wants to participate in this, should they contact your office?
Sure. They can give me a call at 970-3115, or they can email me at mjones@charlottesville.org. There is a little bit of a lag time because we are just now getting proposals back to the RFP. We're putting together a steering committee. And like I said, we'll have that trial run in the summer.
So you're still putting the infrastructure in place to do this.
And that's another thing that we learned from our research. Folks said, take your time. Be very deliberate in your approach. If you try to rush this just for the sake of trying to get it done, you're not going to be successful. You've got to take your time. You got to do it the right way. You got to take the proper steps and then go on from there. So what we're looking at is a launch in the latter part of the fall with a big kickoff here and then start our study circle discussions.
Good stuff. Maurice Jones with the City of Charlottesville. What's the status on the budget?
Well, at this point, it's pretty much done. We've had, of course, a series of public hearings, the presentations. We've had a series of work sessions, the budget forum, I think there's maybe one or two small issues that the council still has to decide about. But pretty much we're set and ready to go. I think they'll vote on it next week.
Soon?
Yeah, wow. April 14th.
There you go. And the efficiency study, has that been done? Or are we to the point now where we would start applying the results of the study?
The efficiency study is done. There was a report back in February. And the good news is that the reviewers felt we have a very efficient approach to our city government, and it's well managed. There are some issues that they feel we could improve on. One is performance measurement and evaluation. Another is in the area of offering consolidating services at some point, either with the schools or with the county, where we could identify where it makes sense for all the folks involved.
And then, the point being, I guess, that there's some redundancy between the city and the county, which oftentimes we all know who live here. It ends up, it's one big community in so many ways.
Exactly.
And that you pay more to have these redundant services sometimes than you would pay if they were just all together.
Well, and some of them are internal issues as well. Look, one of the things that we're doing, and we'll see whether or not it saves us money, is that we're bidding for our healthcare services, an insurance company, with the city schools. The theory is that you have more people who would be covered, so then you'd get better rates. And so we're testing that out for the first time this time around, and we'll see if that, in fact, does work out for us and that we are saving money in the long run.
Yeah. Maurice Jones with the city of Charlottesville. What's the latest from Parks and Rec? Because I know that's made some headlines recently.
It has. You know, we've had a lot of activity in Parks and Recreation over the last couple of years, and especially with swimming pools. We have two pools that are on the docket for being built. One's actually in construction right now, and that's the new Honesty Aquatic Facility over at Mead Park, off of Mead Avenue. And that, I think, will be a beautiful new facility that is kind of intergenerational or multi-generational, I guess, is the approach. You'll have opportunities for young children ages, you know, 1 to 4, and then all the way up to opportunities for older kids and that type of thing. And so you'll have that at Honesty with some lap swimming as well. You have the Smith Aquatic Center that will be bid this spring, and construction will probably start this summer or fall.
Are they going to just like gut that and redo it? Or
it's already down.
Yeah, oh, wow.
They brought down the entire building, and the new center will offer lap swim opportunities and an aquatic center as well, so another opportunity for kind of recreational pool usage. And then, of course, there's been the discussion recently over the McIntyre Wading Pool as
right.
well, and council has voted to keep that open. And so we will see that open this summer. And another project is Forest Hills Park, which has a wading pool right now that's been closed, but they're getting a new spray ground pool there. And that will
Where is
be
that?
Open. Forest Hills Park is over in the Prospect Avenue area,
okay.
near Orangedale as well. A really large park. And they went through a master planning process about a year ago or so. And they've come up with, I think, a great design for the new park, and that will start construction this year. They hope to have that open in September.
Those little neighborhood parks, like I'm thinking of Belmont or mm-hmm. Greenleaf, with the little spray pools,
yeah.
as somebody who has taken well advantage of those with two kids, those are fantastic.
Yeah,
they really are. I mean, wonderful when you can go to a little park and there's little spray things that the little kids can play in.
Yeah, and neighborhoods really appreciate that. I mean, especially parents appreciate having a park that's close by where either they can walk their kids over or they feel comfortable letting their children go over and play over there. And it you know, we talked about that sense of community. There, you do start to see the building of a sense of community at those parks with people who go there on a regular basis, getting to know each other and that type of thing. And you've seen a lot of activity with Parks and Recreation here in Charlottesville over the last few years. One, because it was needed, and two, because it is a part of building this sense of community here.
Yeah, it's you know, if you're going to spend public money, that's public money well spent. It has really powerful, long-lasting effects.
Well, and I think it's one of the contributing factors to the quality of life here in Charlottesville as well.
Maurice Jones is the assistant city manager for the city of Charlottesville. And again, his office number is
970-3115.
970-3115. Mo, thank you for being here, and come back and see us again soon.
I will. Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.